Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. It's always a joy to hear others' testimonies and how God works in their lives. It's amazing to me how different we are. We all have different personalities and different interests and different callings. In the studio this morning is Dan Wolsifer. And Dan, you have a unique opportunity to have a ministry, church planting and student ministries and that kind of a thing. Tell us how all this started, back when you were a kid maybe, or where did you grow up? Let's start with there.
Well, I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, and my parents discipled me. I was saved at a young age, and I'm very thankful for the teaching they gave me at home and as well as at school as well. And I guess I had a heart for serving the Lord that came from several mission trips I went on as a child.
Right.
My grandfather, when he was alive, took mission trips down to South America and Central America.
And took his grandkids.
Yes.
Neat.
I got to go with three trips with him.
Uh-huh.
He took many trips, and he had many opportunities to get into public schools, to even talk to some of the presidents of the countries when it was more open, occasionally get us in the cockpit of a plane, and he just had a gift for getting us in unusual places. But I saw many people trust Christ as a child. Yeah, I got to observe that.
That became exciting then, didn't it?
It did. Something I've never forgotten.
Yeah, you were able to see that, wow, being a Christian is an exciting life. So you graduated from high school there in Greenville.
Yes.
And went to college where?
At Bob Jones.
And studied what?
Studied youth ministries.
Okay.
And worked at camps several summers and also got on a mission team and really felt a call to work with teenagers and children as well.
Right. Okay. So after graduation, did you go on for seminary or go right into the ministry?
Yes, I went on for a seminary. So we stayed there in town, got married right after I graduated, and had an opportunity to volunteer to do youth work at our church in town. At the same time, I was doing seminary.
A cemetery?
Sometimes it feels that way.
That's correct. I'm going to die here, Lord.
Yes.
And so you got some practical experience, which is really neat because sometimes guys go to college and seminary, and all they do is just study. But they don't become involved in people and ministry. And I really believe it's an integral part of your training.
For sure. And that was one of the reasons that led us to stay there and continue my seminary at Bob Jones as well. Because of the connections we've made in the community and people we knew. And, of course, with our home church, just continuing to learn from our pastor and the men there.
Right. So after you graduated from seminary, you sent out resumes, I'm assuming.
Yes. For a little while, probably about a year before we started seriously looking for a ministry. And the Lord brought us into contact with a church up in Rock Hill, South Carolina, through Brian Peterson, I believe he used to be here.
Yeah.
Ran to him at a school reunion, high school reunion. And he connected us with Marshall Fant up in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Okay. And so you were there how long?
I was there about 9 years.
All right.
That was youth and music there.
And they didn't kill you. The kids are, you know, they were decent to you then.
Yes. And it was really a formative time of our ministry. We were very thankful for the Fants, the head pastor and his wife.
Right.
We had young children, and it was just a formative time to learn parenting skills from them as well.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good time of ministry there, of learning, being discipled.
Because if you're not a good parent, you're not a good pastor.
No.
Now, you have become involved in church planting. How did all of that change? You were comfortable, 9 years, everything was going great. How did you get into church planting?
Well, we had taken several mission trips, and as a leader of mission trips, we were impacted probably just as much or more than our teens or college students were.
Sure.
And we took a trip down to Argentina with the Harrises down in South America, and then went out west and helped out with the church plant one summer with the Wesses. Stephen West, he's my brother-in-law.
Right.
In Las Vegas, and then with Tim Sneeden, who's with the Lord now, that's in San Diego.
Okay, so two church plants out west. and spent like a week with them, that kind of thing?
Yes, a week with them and just saw the need for church planters to have somebody come alongside with them. And at the time, a lot of church planters were going out by themselves, their family, and it was just the process is taking longer and longer as our culture changes.
Right.
And the need for encouragement, the need for just someone beside them, even accountability.
Team philosophy. Right, right. Was that taught to you in college or seminary, the team philosophy?
I guess neither. And I did not take church planning when I was in college.
Of
and
course not.
Never thought I
that
was.
That would make it too easy.
That's right. Never thought I was headed that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Lord changed our outlook on things.
Right.
But just, I guess the Lord just, he gifted us with a desire to harmonize with people. Do we love being with people and helping out? And we considered at first going out solo as church planners.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked to some of the men we know in our lives, some of the people that have advised us, been our mentors, they encouraged us as we were kind of sharing how we saw church planners needed or what often would benefit from a more team approach.
Mm-hmm.
We were directed that way.
Okay. All right. Which is a great plan. Because it's like you said, there are times that you get down and you begin to say, Lord, what in the world am I doing here? Especially if there's a financial need and or sickness or whatever, and Satan makes house calls.
For sure. And I'd think through the times as an associate pastor and how often we'd sit down as a church staff and pray together.
Right.
And when you think of a church planner doesn't have those options at times to be able to sit down with a another staff member or somebody that would have the same perspective and desire for encouragement.
Right, right. Just pray together. I started a church in 1972 in Albany, Georgia, and after I was there, I discovered that there had been two independent Baptist churches attempted to be started, and they both failed. And I soon realized why, because many of the other churches in town didn't want me there. To them, I was competition. You know, I wasn't going after their members. In fact, I canvassed 12,000 homes door to door, and I would ask, are you an active member of a local church? To every person that I knocked on their door, if they said yes, I would say, that's great, but you're not who I'm looking for. If they would continue to talk, I'd talk to see if they knew Christ as their Savior. But I wasn't after anybody's members, but it was really stiff, so to speak, when you're around other pastors, because our church really boomed. In 9 months, we had 230 people, but we didn't have any of their members. So consequently, the team approach is vitally important just for encouragement. And so did you learn that team approach in any particular training that you received?
Well, what we decided to do about that point, we went to a church planners conference out at Camp Ironwood, and we met Pastor Tim Potter from Grace Church of Mentor.
Mentor, Ohio.
Mentor, Ohio, yes.
Okay.
And they were just beginning a church planting internship program. And so this is maybe a unusual time of our life to have that direction. We'd gone through seminary.
Sure.
I've gone through about 10 years of ministry, and then to think to
do an internship.
Internship. To move my family from South Carolina to Ohio, to right outside of Cleveland, and do an internship. But we really felt very strongly that the Lord was leading us that direction.
Right.
We agreed with their philosophy and really wanted to learn more how that church was so effective in discipling other people. And we felt that this would be a year well worth the investment of time and money.
Right.
And even a delay in our goal of being out with church planters.
Right, exactly. Now, did you have to raise support to be able to go there?
No. In fact, our home church said, we're going to support you after you finish. And so we knew that we'd have to move up there. I'd have to find a job.
Right.
And we sold our house, moved up there in November, which is maybe an unusual time to move up north, and we got there five days before lake effect snow, and we're not used to all that snow. So we got up there and was able to find someone in the community that was a painter, and he hired me. And so I painted, and I also taught Bible in a Christian school that was across the other side of the city.
Okay, so a year of internship, Now, you heard about all this at Camp Ironwood. That's out in California.
Yes.
Newberry Springs, California. Do they still hold those seminars there, you know?
I don't know if they do at Camp Ironwood. I know that there's a group of church planners out in California, and that's how I originally got in contact to come to this conference.
Because anybody that's interested in church planting, I would like to get information to them like, okay, this is how you do it. So what did you do? Google church planting?
No, my first step was I called Tim Sneeden and said, hey, we are interested in church planting and what would you recommend us to do? And he said, well, why don't you talk to Tim Lovegrove, who's a church planner in Menifee. It's a couple hours outside of L.A.
Okay.
And contact him and see what he says. And so I called him, and he said, we're going to have a church planting conference. And usually it's just the West Coast, the Southern California guys. But this year it's going to include Tim Potter with the Arch Network.
Okay.
Arch Ministries. And they attempt to draw a network of close-minded or pastors who are like-minded,
mm-hmm.
and so that we can benefit from what we've learned and how we disciple people.
Good. Okay. So after the year of internship, how did the Lord lead you then?
Well, when we first went up there, we didn't know where we were going to be headed. And so what we decided to do was lean heavily on both our home church pastor, Pastor Marshall Fant, and then with Tim Potter, where we were doing the internship,
right.
and lean on them for guidance for where to go, because they had a good feel for church planners and church planners that would have a need for someone to come alongside. And our goal was to come alongside a church planner for 5 to 7 years.
Right.
And help them get the church established and be able to fully support the pastor and to train men and women in the church to be disciple makers.
Right.
And then move on and do that someplace else.
So is that when deputation took place?
Yes. It's about the last couple months of my internship, we made our deputation video and started getting things together and calling pastors. And at that point, we were able to set up deputation meetings.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, we've run out of time, but we will continue this conversation the next time we're together in a couple of days. What we're hearing about is how to step out on faith, how to do what you have no clue what you're doing, but day by day you learn through internships, through books that you read, through talking to people who are doing it and making mistakes and trying something else. But, you know, Dan, that's the Christian life, isn't it?
Yes, it was a process of going from fear to faith.
Yes.
In so many of the steps.
Good way to put it. A lot of folks listening to us this morning are saying, yeah, I'm in the fear part, you know, and we want to encourage you to learn what it means to step out on faith. Well, join us next time, and as we continue to talk to Dan Wolsifer, and I trust that your faith will be challenged.